His. And, we can't just let this experience linger and not do what it needs to do in us. We've got to keep the Spirit of anointing and the Lord going and all this stuff the whole year. Because if not, Pastor may say, hey, y'all need to fast some more. Y'all not getting into it. All right. Thank you, Lord. We try not to do that. We try to make it just once you contain. And no, this isn't the only time that we fast. It's just in January. But it is the only time that we do a corporate fast. The rest of the time, the most part, it's we let you do that between you and the Lord. And God is faithful. Thank you, Lord. And I want to put a Skinner in his message. I believe he talked a little bit about and read this passage of Scripture and brought it out in my mind. I got up this morning and thought, man, you know, this is a good month, eh? And then I got thinking, oh, well, Brother Skinner preached Wednesday night, so it's my turn. we kind of follow a little bit of a schedule and just do it alphabetically, Hunt, Skinner, and Texter, unless something comes up. And a visiting preacher, or maybe I feel like I need to preach at a certain time, and we do that, or somebody else might come and say, hey, I've got a word from the Lord. I'm not going to tell you can't preach. Thank you, Lord. But in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, let's all stand in honor of God's word. So much I want to say, how much we appreciate each and every one of you that are here and your dedication to fasting and prayer to the house of the Lord here in the local assembly. And our elders, we want to give honor to our ministry.
Yes.
And we've got some young men that are going to later on begin to feel their calling and things of that nature. We'll be using them.
Yes.
We're going to use these elders right now while we got them as well, and just watch God progress things on.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. A thought came to my mind as Brother Skinner read this passage of Scripture, 1 Kings 17 and 1. You read this Wednesday night, correct? Was you or Brother Hunt Sunday? You don't remember. You have to go back and look at your notes in the car. I thought it was you. But anyway, the message just came to me, when your brook dries up.
Right.
And I've got a whole lot of titles in there that these men, as they preach, God give me a title. And then you got to go back and do the work of digging it out and put a message together. But this one this morning, when I got up, I'm like, oh, I think it's my turn. And I opened my little notepad up here, and that hit me. I'm like, I'm going to preach that. And so let's read 1 Kings 17 and 1 through verse 7. The heading over my Bible says, Elijah predicts a drought. Then Elijah the Tishbite, who was an inhabitant of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to my word. Now the heading said Elijah predicts it, but the Bible said Elijah spoke it into existence. Because he got up and said, there's not going to be rain according to my word. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith there is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now notice, he said there's going to be no rain. God said, go to the brook, and I'm going to make sure you got water and food when you get there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse 7 stuck out to me. And it came to pass after a while. Everybody say after a while.
After a while.
That the brook dried up. Because there had been no rain in the land. What you going to do when your brook dries up? Let's pray. Lord, touch us in this place. Let your anointing go before us, God. You see me and who I am, and I'm so unworthy. Lord, but if you would touch my mind and my heart and my lips of clay to speak, Lord, I would love to be in a place to where you would use me for your glory, and I'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Anoint the ears today to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. Let me do a good job according to your will in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So they're here. He feels in the midst of this wicked generation and the things that are going on. And he finds himself as he comes to the king and said, there's not going to be any rain.
Right.
For 3 years. According to my word. And yes, the ministry has that kind of power.
Yes.
And he used that, Elijah used that power that God gave him. And so this drought is coming, and God told him, he said, you go to a certain place. And there, in that lonely place where you're all alone there, you know, rain brings the crops and the crops bring the food. Without no rain, after a while, the ground's going to dry and there's not going to be any food. But I want you to go to this place.
Yes.
And I'm going to cause the ravens to feed you. Every morning you're going to get breakfast. And every evening you're going to get dinner. The ravens are going to come and feed you. And they're going to bring food unto you, meat that's necessary for you to live. And I'm going to let you be, your water's going to sustain your life by that brook there. And so he goes and he finds himself in that place. I don't know how long he stayed, but after a while, in the process of time, there is no rain upstream, and the land begins to be parched, and the water starts receding back down into the ground, and that little brook that he'd been drinking of began to run dry.
Right.
Now the raven ain't got no water, and he ain't got no water, because his brook dried up.
Right.
What are you going to do when God sends you to this place? And after a while, things begin to happen. We've watched over the years that people go to the church and man, they're so in love with the Lord and they're so exuberant. I remember several experiences, probably just like Brother Hunt that grew up in church, that we had experiences at church and I had personal experiences growing up. And the first time I got the Holy Ghost, I didn't mark the day, but I believe I was about 7 or 8 years old and got baptized and things happen.
Right.
And you know, you get used to the church. You get used to church services.
Right.
You get used to the fire.
Yeah.
You get calloused after a while. And you know, there's people that actually can reach down and pick up a hot skillet off the stove and not even feel it because they've done it so many times that it calluses their hands.
Right.
And things happen after a time. And then, if you're not careful, you drift away. Things happen and you don't feel the things that you used to feel.
Right.
Oh, God help us. But I stayed going to church because I had no choice. The choice was, you live in Daddy's house, you got to do Daddy's rules.
Right.
And Daddy tried not to make hard rules, but there was a set rule that you went to church no matter what.
Right.
And Daddy practiced that same rule. And so we went to church. I remember we witnessed to a young lady one time at Walmart. We had at the McDonald's, we had a big group. I remember her name. And she come to church. And, let me put out the record this morning. Huh? Yes? She said, be careful. Anyway, the young lady come from another church, and the Baptist church or whatever. And man, she loved us, and she loved the youth group. But after a while, things begin to happen, and she was gone. And I seen others after a while. You know, there's third generation grandchildren here that their grandparents went to my father's church, and after a while, things didn't feel the way they used to feel anymore. After a while, you've been down an old stream that used to run so rapidly, and there was fresh water going across the rocks, and now there was just little mud puddles, and now there was just tadpoles and frogs drinking from a stream that once was so clear, and it don't taste good anymore, and it don't feel good anymore. You know, God, why am I here?
Right.
If I can't heal you. There's a song that was played at Little Ronnie Gifford's funeral that I've heard so many times. Brother Millard Park sang it. It's called Matthew West's song called Going Through the Motions. Just going through the motions. I don't want to just go through the motions of church.
All right.
And we go through those dry spells.
Come on.
And I believe Elijah's sitting there. It's going, God, you told me to come here.
Right.
And you know I can't live without water.
Yeah.
You look dry.
All right.
We don't read no more about the raven and the manna. But I wonder if he started bringing crumbs now. And the manna wasn't as plentiful as it used to be. I'm just saying, it makes no difference. You can't live without water. What you gonna do? You see, he the man Elijah prophesied.
Right.
Is it God's fault? Or is it my fault?
Right.
Brother Skinner, when we go through trying times as pastors, and I know you guys that have probably been there. But I remember people leaving. And oh, I was so happy when they came one by one. I remember every experience. I remember every person getting the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You see, my mind don't work that way, but there's things I sear in my mind. People get the Holy Ghost, people come. I remember people God drug out of the hell holes.
Right. Yes.
People come in here and it was men living all kind of foolish ways with blonde hair and living all kind of strange and alternative lifestyles. And I watched the scene and the anointing fall and they begin to weep and make up right now people's
yes.
faces.
Yes.
And they didn't care what they looked like.
Right, right.
And God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And one young lady, she came back. And every time she'd come back and say, we're getting her. We're getting her. Protection, I need to talk to you. You like that, Brother Skinner, when people talk to you? I need to talk to you as a church pastor. Now, I've learned and experienced, not before church. I've got too much going on in here. I'm trying to worry about saving people and singing and the anointing and my message and all this. I don't want all that in my mind. But it bothers you in church. And you're trying to preach and whatever the devil's saying, they're gone. The book has got it. They're gone. Anyway, after service, she said, I'm living with a guy. I got a boyfriend. I don't know what to do. I said, well, we're going to pray about it. We're going to trust God. That's my answer for everything, by the way. Answer 101. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. She said, come back, though. And after a while, Mama Skinner, she come. She said, I've been talking to my ex-husband, this baby girl I got to talk to her daddy. I'm like, keep praying about it. And I walked away and I go, devil,
it's working.
She got back with her husband. God put their life back together. She's still one today.
Right.
Now her group dried up again. They left. But she still, don't tell me God don't work miracles. God works miracles. But when your brook dries up, you forget about the miracles. It's hard to think about the miracles when your brook is dry. You know, one of the greatest sellouts in the Bible was over one thing. It smells good.
didn't have no catch, no honey today. Didn't do too good at the hunting today.
Right.
Come home, and his brothers done hooked up some pottage. One of the greatest sellouts, Brother Skinner.
Yes, yes.
Was his brother said, "You know, son, see, you were wild, really hungry. You didn't need nothing. You know what he said? Same thing I've been saying after this fast. Every time I eat my lobster, I go, that's the best. It's like a donut just did. Yeah, that was the best thing. Pair of donuts, man, it was big. Oh.
And he said, what good does my brother have to do?
Your children would have still got the first rights
right.
after you died. Fat son, I call him Baptist to worry about one meal.
Right.
The greatest sellout.
Just don't die. Don't try.
Right. Your mom and daddy's not going to see you go hungry, boy. What's wrong with you?
Right.
And here's a pack of deal.
You know your brother's a deceiver. You know him. You know what he should have done? He should have said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go put my sword back on. And when I put it back up, every sheep you got out there in practice when you did, and if you give me a bowl of soup or lose everything you got out there in the field, your little lambs and goats, I'm going to hit, be hit every one of them. Now, don't you make me mad and mess with me, because you're not getting my birthright, boy. But you better feed me a bowl of that soup, or it's going to cost you a great deal. You're dealing with a deceiver. He knows his brother!
Right.
Yes, I. It smells so good, I'll give you. He didn't foul you.
Right. You know, that's why God said he hated his son.
Right.
Because he didn't foul you the thing that he should have fouled you the most.
Hell.
And God said, your problem was you didn't value your soul.
Right.
You were trying to go to a football game. You were trying to go fishing.
Right. You trying to go get drunk on Friday night. And still go to church on Sunday morning and feel good about it.
Right.
In the fairgrounds, and we're going to the livestock deal, you know, there's a guy standing outside a fence. And we stood there for a little while. Vincent went to get some more root beer and $3 refills. And I knew better than seeing Vince because he's directing the challenge. But anyway, I said, it's right here by the school. We're going right here by the school. Tomlin School Livestock Farm. You go that way, you come back, go north till you see fences, and then go this way to Ward Town. And you can't miss it. 30 minutes later. But I got to watching the guy because he started preaching on his microphone.
Y'all in hell, this is wrong or something like that.
What did he say, man?
No one decided to get to hell.
And I looked, Brother Hunters, he stayed on the other side of the fence. And his wife, she looked Amish. And she looked really clean and holy looking. And she's holding the fence like this, preaching to people. And I thought, they look like they're in a cage. Y'all listen to the false preachers and prophets, and y'all want to go to hell. And, you know, I started going to talk to him, but I didn't. I said, look at this family. I'm going to go up and say, sir, I ain't smoking, drinking, cussed, and I'll be in the pulpit in the morning preaching. I ain't sinned all week, and why am I going to hell again this day? Are you John the Baptist? That's what popped in my mind, because I want to tell you, there's two gay girls that just went by. Why did you preach to them, you coward? Because John the Baptist went right to the king and laid it right on the line. It's not God's will for you to have a brother's wife. But we went on. Vince said when we got home, well, maybe we was bluffing a little bit. And I said, I don't think so. We did eat a lot, but you know, we spread it out. I lost a pound, believe it or not. I really did this morning. I'm like, wow.
what we all pick around a lot, you know.
Go through some hard places. There's been some places, Brother Hunt, Brother Skinner, that I ain't felt God.
Right.
I wish I could tell you it was moments and hours and a few weeks, but it's been years
right.
that I thought God was so far from.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And every time I got up, so I'm going to judge you. The devil said, why? You can't feel God. God's left you.
Saints left. When the brook was really at the driest, you look down, there's no water, and there's not even a tadpole or frog in there. Come to church, and my wife and daughter was out of town, and it was me and Brother Dan and Sister Lisa. And then sometimes she didn't show up. Me and Brother Dan. I wish I could tell you, Brother Skinner, I got up and preached like the house was on fire. Boy, I... Wow! Well, yeah. We had a little prayer meeting. Sometimes we'll play a little bit. Wait, 8? 8:30? Well, Dad, what you going to do? Let's go home.
You know what I learned in those valleys? My dry bones. Your character is not tested on the mountaintops.
Right.
Your character is not tested, Brother Skinner, when people show up to hear you preach and when you witness and they just come
around.
That's not your true character.
Right.
Your character is tested when nobody shows up.
Right.
I need to come back to church Sunday morning and nobody will be here. And we'd study. And we'd come Sunday morning.
I can't remember how long it was. Ask my wife. She probably knows how many years it was. One lady, years, elder, she kind of told me, she said, you just didn't close up the church, you're killing these people. You know, sometimes you just let people say on, but it's you don't say a word.
Right.
I said, wait. You know, David one time walking through a valley, and I think it was Joab up there on the mountaintop. Was it Joab hollering? And he was talking about David down to him. Who wasn't hollering on this? And his armor bearer said, let me beat him. I'll take his head off his shoulders. Ooh, just like that, David. I'll take care of him right now. And David said, let him off.
David was his brother driver. He's going to die. But what you know what David do? This all's going to come out.
David wasn't thinking I'm the king. If he was, he said, take his head off because he don't know I'm the king. He just don't know it.
He's put to drive. He keeps on walking. He keeps going. And he learned really what faithfulness meant. See,
married folk. Faithfulness is not how good the gentleman bills is paid. You got good jobs and kids are doing great things.
Faithfulness is when the doctor comes and you see your wife start getting sick and she says, I got bad news. Doctor said, I got cancer.
That elder got up and preached a couple Wednesday nights ago. His wife is sick. She bad sick. And I thought, God, let me preach like that.
Well, I don't know how many more Sundays I got with my wife. Let me preach like that.
Right.
Her son died of cancer just a few years ago. Here, she's got this bad diagnosis.
And he gets up here and preaches like a young guy.
Somebody said, why is he got clothes in the back room? I said, because he preaches until he can wring the sweat out of his shirt every time he preaches. And he ain't quit. See, a lot of y'all don't know the background. That's his second wife. His first wife died of a disease. That's her second husband. Her first husband died. Brother Thrash is my pastor.
Brother Thrash, these things go.
I thought, God, I've been praying, God.
Mule Sister Thrasher, Sister Vance, that healer, God, they've been faithful. Faithful all these years. All the people they've prayed for. All the healings they've seen. All the churches they've started. You see, he was my pastor when my brother died. Call him pastor, what I do? Son, did God call you? You know what I want to say, Brother Skinner? Pastor, I don't know if you did or not. I didn't question that within my heart. But I did. Because I knew that was a lie. I know God called me. I know God called me. Well, son, you just keep going.
My house payment got 2 months behind. And I called my pastor. I said, Pastor, God called me to be full-time. I'm going to be full-time. He said, what? What'd you say? I said, well, God, I know God called me to be full-time. He said, did you say something about your house being behind? I said, yeah. He said, son. He said, before the sun rises up in the morning, you better have your job. He knew I could. And I did. He said, you go back to work. Paul went back to tent making every once in a while. You go back to what you know to get them bills paid. It ain't right, though. He said, I don't want to have this conversation with you no more that you let your house. He said, because your kids are going to have trouble with your ministry if you let them take your house. That's not God's will. You go to work and you do everything you can do. I'm supporting the church, and you keep supporting the church. And it is right, the church house payment. Church makes sure it's first, and then your house. But you go to work and take care of that as well. The brook dried up, and I went to work. And we had one tithe payer at that time, and they was good. And the exact money and income that was starting to come in now, they left and took that away. I said, well, God, give the devil to spit right in my face. I didn't call my pastor. I knew what he was going to say. I don't care what happened. You keep working, and you pay them bills. You flip hamburgers, whatever you got to do. Your brook's dried up, but you got to keep on going.
Right.
God, why am I here?
Right.
God, I don't want to prophesy no rain. Maybe he's not blaming himself now. You know, you blame God, you blame yourself, you just blame everybody. Your brook's dried up!
Right.
And now, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the storm. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go down to Zarephath, which belongeth in Zidon, and dwell there. There was a reason. I never put these together before, but I was scared until this morning. I never knew these stories kind of run together. Just kind of skipped me until this morning. Why did the brook dry up? So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the city of the gate, behold, a widow woman. Everybody say a widow woman. As a widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. His brook had dried up.
Right.
He's asking for water.
Yes.
I'm thirsty. My brook's dried up and I'm in travel peace. And woman, you know, I know you're getting strict and you got your own deal, but I just need a little water in a vessel. And verse 11, and when she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. You know what? While you're at it, since you're going to go give me some water, how about a little cake? I need a little daddy right now. An oatmeal pie. I think I'll make me go a few more days. I don't know. We don't know what all she had. She didn't have much. Maybe she had an old can of Viney Weenies left over. Hey, when it's warm, that's your drink and your meat all in the same cup. Oh, y'all quit. It ain't no fun unless you drink. You got to drink it. You got to drink the sauce.
Right.
Not when it's hot. It turned to jelly when it was cold. Maybe you got some salmon patties. Put some of that in there. Mom used to make them, they were pretty good. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful. I don't even have enough to make a whole cake. Preacher,
All I got was just a little handful in a barrel. Just a little meal and a little bit of oil to fry it with. And behold, I'm gathering these two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. Now remember, he's still on dry brook experience. He ain't come out yet. And he's asking for a little help because he thinks he's got it bad. She got it worse. Oh, yeah. Thank none of us here today's parents. But if God come and said, cancer's going to hit your house, then we wouldn't go, me, Lord, me! Not my babies. Me. Not them. Me. You see, she's worried about her son.
Yes.
But she knows if she dies, her son's going to die as well. Preacher, I've got enough communion. That's all I got. My brook's busy dry up his mouth. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first. Everybody say a little tithes. Mm-hmm. And bring it to me. And after, make thee and for thy son. Now, when I thought of this story as a young man and growing up, I always kind of, you know, when I was a Apostle Paul child, a stage the child, understood the child, when I became a preacher, I put away childish things. I always kind of thought, Brother Skinner, this guy, it seemed like maybe Elijah was a little bit selfish when he asked for him to take it first. But you know what he knew? I got a connection. And you see, even though my brook had dried up, I was there a little while, but I didn't die. Ravens was feeding me, whatnot. And then God said, you got someplace else to go. You got another purpose. And so I come over here. But I'm still hooked up.
Right.
And so, lady, if you will take care of me, God's going to make sure you take care of me.
All right.
That's good.
Right.
He knew that.
Good.
Yes, that's right.
That's why we took tithes as ministry from people I knew didn't have. I often tell a story, Sister Mary, and I'll tell it real quick in case she ain't heard it. Real quick, lady come in, and she was from Ignatius Church, and she was one of the most faithful saints. She had nothing good in the projects. Had one daughter, and she just was not real faithful. She had two twin sons. But anyway, good in the projects, and Sister Mary got sick, got diabetes, but she got an ant bite up under her toe working in the garden. Finally, they took her leg off and whatnot. Long story short, she called and said, Pastor, it's the first Sunday of the month. I can't make it to church, Pastor. You come by my house. Oh, Sister Mary, I'll sure I'll come by and pray for you. And I went by and prayed for her. Me and my wife sit down and live in there and pray for her. Pastor, won't you take my tithes? I started crying. Sister Mary, now, I got a good job and I work like I got plenty of money. And God's faithful. The church is doing good. I want you to keep this. Oh, Pastor! She start crying. Don't you take my blessing? Don't you take my blessing, Pastor? Don't you do it? You got to take this. $20, $30. I don't agree. I knew it was a lot of money to her, and I knew it wasn't but $9 for me and my family. Brother Skinner, we was real comfortable with her. I walk into the kitchen and went to the chair. And she was. She called me not long later. I asked her, you know where Tico Electric is? I said, well, yes, ma'am, I do. Down the road there, I'm doing a brand new subdivision. And down at the end of the cul-de-sac, there's a brand new house going out. That's why I'm going to be moving in there. I said, whose name is that going to be in? Well, it was going to be in my name, but I told my brother, you make sure you put Seven Fred, my two grandsons' name on that. That way when I die, them boys will get this house. Built her a brand new 3-bedroom, 2-bath, handicapped bathroom. And gave it to her. You know what that was? I was $20 a month. Being faithful to God. And I took it now. It bothered my mind for a while. But boy, when she told me about that brand new house, she was getting it. That's just like my God. He done for her what I couldn't do. He done more than I could ever do. Hey,
And he goes. He goes. And she gives. And she does what she's supposed to. Fire spake me little cake. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, verse 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent rain upon the earth.
Right.
It's going to rain again.
Yes.
She didn't start feeding the neighborhood. That was her blessing. And every time she went in there, she had enough for one more.
Yeah.
And she made one more.
Right.
Oh, when your brook dries up, maybe that was a reason.
Right.
So I'm not that problem. You see, what I have a problem is human will. See, I don't believe, like the preacher was saying, I think it was Brother Hunt on this one, correct me if I'm wrong, 144,000 is going to be saved, and that's it. Well, we missed the mark, 144. I'm sure they got 144,000.
Right.
Well, you're predestined to be saved.
Right.
So you mean to tell me God was wasting time with Jesus?
Right.
I don't think Jesus knew who he was until the end.
Right.
He's seen some things. The Bible said Satan entered into Jesus.
Right.
Some got on him. I mean, you look. Peter was just as bad as he was.
Right.
Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Not once, not twice. Strike 3, you're out.
Right.
But when the brook dried up, obviously, Judas went 9 years off. Peter is going to wash his hands by the fire. He's going to smile and look down. The Bible says, yep. You see, I believe there's predestination that you're going to be lost, you're going to be saved, you're going to be lost, you're going to be saved, you're going to be lost.
Right.
I believe that God gives you that choice.
Yes.
Well, God knows all who's going to be saved in the end. Don't take away the choice.
Right.
Because then in your mind you start getting muddy. Well, if God knows what I'm going to say or lost, why I just need, I just, why I need to try?
Right.
And there's things God surrendered to your choice. You have to choose you this day whom you're going to serve.
Right.
Now the devil's already predestined that you're going to die and go to hell. Just ask him. He'll tell you you're going to be lost.
Right.
But I'm going to look at him and go, I'm going to prove you wrong, oh boy, because I'm going to be saved.
Yes.
No matter what you say. No matter what you thought. When your brook dries up. And then that story's over. Oh, could it have been someone needed a miracle? Elijah, that's why your brook dried up. See, let me go just a little bit further into this. I don't believe God's a big control freak.
Right. Okay, Elijah. Go here. Brook's going to dry up, and then you're going to go here. This is going to be waiting, this and this and this and this and this and this. And then, you know, people, somebody dies and people say crazy stuff.
Right.
Well, that's God's will.
You know, when innocent people get hurt and die, and that becomes God's will, now I'm having an issue with God.
I mean, when the drunk dies on the motorcycle, or you know, the drunk lives and the preacher dies on the motorcycle,
that was God's will. And then it was God's will for a preacher to come in and mess up with the money in that big building that set 400 people that I could have been pastor is now gone.
Right. But I don't think it was God's will at all. I think it was man's will. I think a man got drunk. I think a man went to Plant City and got lost on a Friday night. And I think a man made the wrong turn.
But God knows. I know He knows. There's a difference between knowing and controlling.
Right.
And then, when my throat dried up, I made the choice. God, I'm going to serve You and I'm going to trust You.
Yes, sir. Right.
I'm going to now pick up that mantle that I was not picked up at that time.
Yes, sir.
Well, preaching on everything after being God's will, yep, there's God's permissive will. That means what God allows.
Right.
And there's God's perfect will. And you have to make up in your mind which will you're going to follow.
Right.
Alright. I'm going to follow God's perfect will.
Amen.
You know what God's perfect will is? Anybody with an answer for me? What are you preaching out of this? You know, how about young guys? What's God's perfect will?
Where's
Elisha? Well, look at that. Woo! Exactly what I was thinking. That none should perish. But all should have everlasting life.
Right.
Everybody's going to live forever in the great heavenly Utopia. We all going to be saved.
Right.
That's God's will.
Yes.
You know what Satan's will is.
Yeah.
To lie, deceive, and every man be lost.
Right.
But you've got the choice.
Right.
We know what God's perfect will is. Well, I wonder if it's God's will if we go to church today. Come on, we'll cast that devil out of you.
Right.
We know that. I don't need to seek God's will in every little situation.
Right.
Well, I got my electric bill due today or tithes. God, what's your will today? I need you to speak to me today.
Right.
Bam! Pay your tithes. You're the one that lets your electric bill get behind. I don't need to ask God's will. Is it God's will for me to leave my wife because she was mean to me last night? And see what? I'm just saying. I'm just throwing things out there. We don't know it. We good. I need to ask God's will. You just know.
Right.
You know if it's God's will. Do I need to fast a little bit? Or do I need to eat a little more? Ding, 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 prospect. And so Brooke dries out. Goes through some nice steps. See, I wish I could tell you today, church, that things is going to be great and we're never going to have a death again in the church. It's not going to happen. I'm just telling you,
right.
It's not going to be that way.
Right.
We're going to keep going. You know why? And we're going to keep living for God. And we're going to have to deal with some more death.
Right.
But the good thing is, that we're going to see some more get the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, we have 12 baptized in Jesus' name. Some of them have got the Holy Ghost, and some of them ain't, and all I've needed.
Right.
How many need the Holy Ghost today? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, ha, who, whatever.
That's all I got. That's it.
If there's 20 of us here, 20 of us need it all over again. You know why? Because that's not something you just, well, I drunk in the first one time, I'm not good. No, you got to keep drinking. You got to keep drinking. When it's dry, God, send me to where you need me. God, if you want me to fast, I'm going to fast a little while. But when you get ready, I'd sure like some water again.
Amen.
Woo! It was old David. And old David, they was locked in. They was locked into a battle. They was in a bad way. They was, it was a bad way. The enemy had took it over Jerusalem. David's sitting there like you often do. And he said, my brook is dry up. Now he didn't say that. I'm just saying he might say it, Bob said of all the things that Jesus done, they're not put to recording. So just put that in the pipe and smoke it.
Right.
Much less David and the rest of them. He was going, my Lord, I just have one drink. And the other way off back in Bethlehem.
Right.
And he's talking about. And one of the servants said, Showed me up in the skin. And I know I wasn't too fast. Matter of fact, I ran this corner right here. I was trying to go ahead a little bit. I ain't jogging on time. And now I've got my mind. Shoo! I used to run like that. But Skinner, I got home. My knees, oh, they hurt so bad. 3 days my knees hurt. And I told my wife, and she said, but you're going to keep on running, ain't you? I said, I believe I am. You know why? One day, Brother Skinner, them old knees may get out on me. I might be in a wheelchair. And I might go, you know what? Devil, you think you got me, but I run while I could. I run when it felt good, and I run when it hurt, and it felt bad. But I kept on running because I was running for the Lord. You see, when your breath dries up, what are you going to do? I heard a little bit of story about this. I hope I'm not scared. I'll be real stupid. You know, we all go through some things.
Right.
And the whole story I heard was having a hard time, and he decided he was going to use his church, he'd come to church. And he got up here, and from what I heard, life and spirit got on me, didn't it? Y'all believe in the life and spirit?
Yeah.
Sure. Or the joy will get on you. Now, and if you start crying when you're having joy, you overwhelm with joy.
Right.
Most time when I get joy, it's I'm. I think somebody said, he said, if somebody would send you, they thought it was crazy. I've been there.
Right.
I've been up here and cried at the devil. And I've been up here and laughed at him too.
Right.
Matter of fact, my brother dried up, Brother Skinner. I come up here and got to laughing one night. I got to laughing so hard about peeing myself. And you know what? I stood on top of the pulpit, and I ain't never done that service. And I said, devil, if you think you got me, you better throw some more. Because I'm not going down until there ain't nothing left. When there's nobody walking in that door behind me, I'm still going to come to church. When they put me in jail, I'm still going to have church. I'm going to have church in jail. Devil, you think you got me? You've lost your mind. I ain't no coward. All you do is making me mad. And you better not make me mad because you won't like the result. I'll push back my plate, and I'll go to fast until I starve. It's not the death, devil, if you keep on. You know what? I got the feeling better. Matter of fact, I left, and I left different than what I came in. I was feeling good, man. I'm telling you, if I'd have seen the devil right then, I'd have went in. I'd have whooped him. Didn't feel that way when I came in. Felt defeated.
Right.
Sometimes you get to laughing, because things are so comical, and what the devil does and tries to do in your life. You're so defeated, he'll tell you, devil, you're just a liar. You know victory is coming, don't you? You know we're going to baptize somebody. You know somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost. And then after a while, we open that church door, and I said it again, I'll keep saying it, Dad, die. In walk Brother Josh and Sister Ashley and three little Indians behind me. They're not Indian, I'm just, you know, funny. One little, two little, three little, four little, five little, six little people. Now it's Puerto Ricans. Come on, come here, Puerto Ricans. Go on, man. Come on, man. It's fine. It's fine. You got me. I see it. I see it.
Okay.
We're just having fun. Somebody told me, said, it won't be that.
I'll just come to be.
Then they come back again. And we miss a little bit here and there. You know how it is when you first get going. You know? You think you're on the bicycle, take off, and then mud pops. Ooh, you know, all that. You just come right off of it. Brother Luke started coming to church. And I thought, there's two, devil. There's two. There's two. And then COVID hit. Brother Luke quit coming to church. I'm not being mean to you, just, you know, you're not stuck on.
But that church is sheep is going around. Who comes out?
It's okay. It's one down. And I said something up there about the daughter telling me about fighting. My wife said, you're going to hear that. Kim was going to go home and tell Luke about how y'all been fighting again. Well, how about you say that? That's not been one time, too. No, we've definitely one time. We just keep on fighting, thank God. And was it 2 weeks later? If I'm correct, it was 2 weeks later. I think it was. He called us. The pastor still having church? Was it 2 weeks? I think it was two.
No, I
called
you in the middle of the next Sunday.
This year?
Yeah.
How many services did you miss? I thought you missed two. You were coming on Wednesday night, so before I got 2 weeks. But anyway, 1 week, 2 weeks. It makes no difference. He called me. I thought, y'all still going to have a service? I said, we are. I said, got hand sanitizer? If you want to wear a mask, I don't care. You can wear my underwear when you come. I thought I'd put a diaper on my head and walk to Walmart to see what they was actually doing. Really? Really? You know your body's breathing out carbon monoxide and you're perfect, right? Anyway, I said, I was going to have a church son. We would have a pews look. I said, you know, you can sit wherever. Man, you can sit in my office and close the door. I don't care. You can hear that old people. I need church. You know what I did? I thought, this is what I did today. I said, he can't live without church anymore. We got him! We got him! He can't make it without that Sunday fix. You see, we don't do drugs around here. We do Jesus. And I need him more than Sunday. I need him more than Wednesday. I need him every day. But there's something about coming together with God's people, especially when you know after a while your roots don't dry up. I mean, you know, either the stream's flowing good and you've seen the brook dry up, or the brook is fizzling dry up, or the brook is dry up. But you're going to go through those times, and you just keep coming.
Right.
Yes.
About what we do now. Well, you just go over here. Okay, Lord. There's a little widow woman. And then look. Now, the next story after that. Elijah. In verses 17 through 24. Elijah raises the widow's son. His brook dries up, and he sees a miracle with the cake and the oil for the lady, sustain her. He leaves there and goes to the next place. A widow woman's son's dead, and raises that up the way. Miracle after miracle. Why did it come about? Because his brook dried up. So what I'm trying to say is, as Paul Harper would say at the end of the story, is when you go and do something, you know what you can do for the best? Just what you've done. You won't get me a raise on my job. Somebody not bring me a new car or a new tire on my truck. Still waiting on the check on that. Walmart warranty didn't work. Somebody got to do something. Because when you go through the valley, the devil knows God is getting ready to bless.
Amen.
What you got to do when your brook dries up is you just keep on being faithful. Because it's not the end of the story. But my brook dried up, preacher, what am I going to do?
not getting fed anymore. And of course, we as pastors, you know, we take that personal.
Right.
And one time I prayed, I said, God, I didn't think I was that bad preaching. But I'm trying. I know I'm nothing great, Lord, but I try to study, Lord. I try. And the Lord don't speak to me a lot. But every once in a while. He said, don't take it personal. And my mind went to the story. Paul. I believe it was Paul that was shipwrecked. Trying to build a spire. He told me, he said, if y'all stay in the boat, you're going to leave it now. What kind of boat was this? There wasn't no boat left. There was pieces for you, but to stay. Don't jump over. If you jump over, you're going to sure die. But if you stay, the boat might be broken apart. You know, stay on the pieces, and you'll make it sure you're built there. And so they're all on shore, about to freeze to death because the storm was cold and the water was cold. And they're building fire. They'll think it pretty highly of Paul at this moment, you know. Well, I'm sure glad I didn't jump. You told me to jump because, you know, that man, the prisoner, by the way, told us to stay in the boat and live, and now we all live. They're one of us now. But yes, I'm sure glad I didn't listen to you jump. Feel them kind of like this over there, you know, prisoner preacher. He's trying to grab a piece of wood and snake bites him. And they looked and said, oh, that's a venomous fire. They see two things. That's how you know they're venomous, two things. They flung him off in the fire and put up on the wood and they said, he's a devil. Read your Bible. They said he's a devil.
Right.
The sea didn't get him. Now the snake got him guards against him. You idiots.
Right.
He's the one told you to stay in the ship and you're going to live. So he was a prophet 1 minute, and now he's all of a sudden the devil. People think like that, don't they?
Right.
He shakes them off and fire. Have some more wood. 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, you know, about 3 or 4 minutes. Your hands start swelling. Gets your blood, goes to your heart. About 5 minutes, you're dead. Dead in the doornail. He sits down on the fire and says, hey, what's all looking at, man? Woo, it's warm over here. Another one. He's operating his time. Six minutes. 20 minutes. Are y'all going to stand over and talk and freeze to death, or are you going to come get warm? Just like this. Just like this. Boom.
Right.
Did they not?
Right.
People are enemies somehow.
Right.
I call it spiritual immaturity. You just gotta rise up. We're cursed. Y'all know that? Or people say we're cursed. Okay. Bills is paid, got a good job, fat and healthy, eat whatever I want to eat, do whatever I want to do, according to God's will, because that's what I want to do. Church is going good. People getting baptized.
Right.
I mean, I don't have their numbers, but I don't want to call up and say, now what did you say I was first? 12 people got baptized. Was that all devils, or am I missing something?
Right.
No, you're not going to say a word, you know why? Because everyone's going to say, yeah, I just see how long they last. No, you go on. You go. Hey, not everybody can go with us. Not everybody can walk with us. And if you make that choice, hey, I'm not praying bad against you. I pray good. Right. I pray God, wake them up.
Right.
Don't let that spirit of deception cause them to die off. Just because you go through some spells when the brook dries up with a snare, don't mean God's against you.
Right.
What did Job do? God kill him. Now he questioned God.
Yes.
The Bible says he's perfect, just, upright, skewed evil.
feared the Lord. He was the right kind of guy. But when his brook dried up, he could question. Matter of fact, God came down and spoke to him and said, okay, son, hold on. Don't you forget who I am. You know why he began to question? Because he had a couple of miserable comforters come over there. And that was miserable comforters. They weren't good comforters because they started blaming it on him. Job, now, if all this stuff is happening, you've got to be wrong. Job said, no, I ain't got nothing wrong.
Right.
The next one come along and said, now, Job, listen. Now, you know, if all your cattle got killed, it'd be one thing. But your cattle got killed, your sheep got killed, all your kids got killed. You ain't got no kids left. There ain't nobody but you and your wife. Surely God's against you. And number three comes along and says, Job, you know, and then after these three or four miserable comforters, life comes along, bless your heart. Now, I've always took the high road with Sister Job. She was there with him. Even though she said the wrong thing, she was meaning right, I believe. Job, you've been through too much. We can't keep going like this.
Right.
God lost all her kids, and now we're helping speak to Job. I'm just going to put you on the ground. Won't you just ask God to get you out of here early, Job? She seemed to scratch his soul. Couldn't sleep, couldn't sleep. He was going to do it.
I told him nothing. I told him nothing. Nothing matters but my integrity with the Lord. I know I have done my wrong. You wouldn't look at me 24/7, woman. You don't know like I know. I've never done one thing wrong. And I didn't curse God. I didn't all this stuff when it was going good. Why am I going to start cursing God when things are going bad? Why am I going to all of a sudden change what I know I should be doing? Because my brother went down. When he penned those most famous words of the law of God, he said, now God's name. I still don't trust him. All I've got is my trust in my Almighty Savior. My life is just we see now in the spectrum of 80, 90, 100, maybe 120 years if we're really good to our bodies and really careful about how we eat, unlike me. I mean, I'm going to be gone in a little while. That's all I'm going to be doing. But Job, don't you miss your kids? Maybe they're dead and gone. There's nothing we can do about them. I've told people before, listen, you just need to hang on. You got kids watching you. I had one girl sat on one time. Can't worry about the kids. But when I left, I thought, ooh. My respect level was like this. And I'm looking at my this. That girl was saying, God, I'm thinking, come on, Lord. You see, my son was backslid at that time. And I thought, God, if I got to go through cancer for 5 or 10 years and scrape my sores like Job, and I wouldn't care what you have to put on me as long as I could see my son back home.
That's right.
Well, Vince was got talking about dreams and stuff a little bit yesterday. They all thought I was crazy when I talked about dreams. I dreamed my son got healed. I think I told the church, you know, I called the pressure, spirit, the pressure, put the hospital. And you pray for that boy, God's going to raise him up. God's going to raise him up. Preacher, you've had an awful lot of dreams. Mm-hmm. All of them come true? Mm-hmm. I dreamed Dad got killed one time. I'm glad that didn't come true. I'm glad my son repented, Brother Skinner, and I'm glad God left out the middle part. I'm glad that didn't have to happen.
Right, right.
Hey, I don't want to have to go through that. I believe sometimes God gives you dreams for you to be the intercessor and you to pray, God, wait a minute, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Moses coming down off that mountain. God spoke to Moses, not people. Why? Because Moses is the intercessor.
He's the preacher. He's the everything to them people. Everything they get from God comes right through him. He's the channel.
Right.
I'm stumbling about him. So a preacher said this one time, and I'm closing. Preacher said, the difference between Noah and Moses. So God said, no, I'm going to destroy them all. And Noah said, God, you've got a deal. Just get me out of here.
Oh, Moses came out.
40 days and 40 nights without no water. He didn't have nothing. He was just with Jesus. Now, we don't do that. We know you can't live very long without water. It was a miracle. But there was something going on there. He came down. And God's not knowing that. See, God's not that control freak. Moses is up there, and God, Moses is having a deal, and the people do whatever they want to do.
Moses, I'm going to start with you, and then you're going to make a deal, and I'll start brand new, and I'm going to have some more views around still these heathens.
Moses said, God, that was in a mess. I'm sure Moses wasn't happy about all that was going on because it was bad stuff.
God, I've been up to the mountain. You don't know. You're a loving God. You're a kind God. You're a just God. But you're a loving God. It's not your will to start destroying and killing and wiping out God. That's not your will.
A lot of people do all the way around. Just take my hand. Why are you doing it?
Oh. Hey, that's something. For your lost loved ones, we're going to steal it for our kids that are lost.
You don't kill him, just take me out.
Take me out!
Moses never seen this for those people. That's our job.
Back up on the mountain he goes because he got mad and break the tablets. Did he get mad? Yes, the Bible said anger and said not, though. His anger didn't cause him to take it out on the people. He took it out on the tablets. And God said, come on back up here. Now we got another 40 days before him. Now there's 80 days with nothing. And he's with the Lord. And now he's writing tablets. He's engraving stones.
Now when he comes down off of that mountain, 80 days and 80 nights with the Lord. He come down, he looked like the sun, and not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N of God. God radiated from him so bright. The people couldn't listen.
Right.
They bowed down
to
the ground. Speaking of standing there,
where do you think that veil come from? Huh? It come from God and Moses. It didn't come from the bride. It come from God and Moses.
Life's not possible right now. Oh, man. Preaching the words right now. Keep on worshiping. But eventually, keep on praising. I told my wife today, I said, he's so much like me. You wouldn't even admit how much like me. If it's just put a skin, I have a dad. It's always good to me. Depression. Out of my mental state. Yeah, I used to be that way. I used to deal with that. I was the world's worst condemner. Sometimes I still have problems with somebody. Some of my wife says something. I hear voices from the past. And she'll say, I don't know what happened there. I was speaking with pink mouth. And you heard with blue ears. It didn't translate too good. Didn't work out here. I wasn't saying what you thought I said. Because she told an expression on her face, you know. I know y'all never do that. Sometimes you'll say, that wasn't your mom, that was me. No, I never did that. What in the world was you hearing?
time to hear the confirmation. But my dad was there to lift me up and say, son, you've got to trust God. And you know what? He put so much in me for 17 years that I've lived much longer now without his voice. Hey, I can't hear it no more. It's in my heart. You just keep going. You just keep fighting. It's in the book. He always put it back to the book. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You're going to go through some hard times. Your breath is going to dry up. The world's going to be against you. Oh, I'm not coming to tell you it's all going to be grits and gravy, baby. No, there's going to be hard times. The world's going to persecute you. The church is going to persecute you. People's going to persecute you. You're going to feel like God persecuting you somehow. I'll go to church. Just have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer. You know what a faint cry is? It's when you're weak. And he's there to pick you up. A few little prayer will turn to no fire burn. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And you keep on talking. And keep on talking. What do you do when your brook dries up and God ain't speaking? Keep talking. That's what I do, Sister Scott. I keep talking. I was looking at my Bible. Oh, there it is. I had it on my book of Bible. Well, I get the word and start reading. Let's see. What happens when the brook dries up in the Bible? Got Elijah. David, his brook dried up a couple times, didn't he?
Yeah.
From the Abigail. Abigail's hey, birthday yesterday from Abigail. Who Abigail was in the Bible. Well, she was something else, wasn't she? We got another Abigail. Woo-wee. So I told you, Gabby, about the story about Abigail, what happened, you know?
Yeah.
You know, David's out there, his men, they come to the Bible, and they went to drop us at that hungry. He sent a servant here and said, hey, there's a little village and house up there, so go tell them people fix us some meal. Give us a little bread or something. I'm feeding him. Sorry. Servant goes and the man of the house comes out and says, now who's wanting this stuff here? David wants some provisions for his army. David was a bunch of renegades, you see. They weren't on right terms with much people. He said, you can go tell David he can go fly a kite. He ain't getting nothing from me. I'm part of it. Long story short, David gets mad and says, hey, y'all get your swords on? He said, when I get through with them, there won't be a man, boy, or girl left. We're going to kill everybody in the whole house. And old Sister Abigail gets wind of what her husband done. And she told a servant, she said, you go kill a kid, and you dress him real quick, and you fry him up in the smoker real quick, and you put good seasoning on him. You get some fresh bread bacon. Hurry, get some wine. You know, we got to take care of this. And she gets a donkey. Here they go. Out there. And she sees David on the ground. She falls and starts worshiping. And she said, oh, David, please forgive my husband. He's a man of Belial.
Right.
He ain't got no sense. Oh, and she was pretty, too. Like our Abigail's here. She was pretty. And David, I mean, how can you think of it, guys? She's a pretty woman. She brought you food. And she's worshiping you. And his mind goes from vengeance. And he thought, well, how in the world can I kill that? There's no way I can kill that. She got the right heart, the right looks, and the right attitude. And he gets up and eats supper. And him and his men have a good meal. And he says, you're going back home, your husband, now. You're going back home. And we're going our way. She was the intercessor and spared her whole house. And look at how good God is. She goes home and her old fat husband has a heart attack and dies. Ain't that just like God? Is that man's fault? What's God's fault? And somehow or another, David gets wind that Abigail is available. And he said, you go get that woman. Ask her if she will be my wife. I got this. I remember more than her beauty on the outside was her beauty on the outside. That she would walk out when I could have cut her head off. My servant could have decapitated her before she ever got to me. But she had a spirit that said, I'm going to save my babies. I'm going to save my house. I'm going to do everything I can to intercede.
Right. Praise the Lord.
Hey, just keep dreaming. Keep on. When your brook dries up, you know what you keep doing? You just keep on doing God's will. God's got a purpose sometimes for some dry brooks. There may be somebody out there, some more rains, Brother Skinner. There may be some more rains out there. And you know what? They're just, you know, God's getting them to a place that they'll realize, hey, there's some neighbors over there that they just keep on through the valleys and every situation, and they trust God, and their relationship with God is a little deeper than my relationship with God.
Right.
When your brook dries up, it's all seen. What you gonna do? When you start going through the valleys. Situations come. The winds blow. I'm glad the story don't stop there and there's a rest of the story, aren't you?
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and love Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We need you, Jesus.